November 27th. Our reading in the Old Testament today will be from the book of Daniel, chapter 4, verses 1 through 37. We'll see that Nebuchadnezzar's second dream accomplished three things. It warned the king that his pride would lead to judgment. It exposed the incompetence of his magicians, and it gave Daniel another opportunity to glorify the God of heaven. Well, it was not easy for Daniel to give the king the message of the dream. Nebuchadnezzar had a short temper, and everybody knew it. And he might have ordered Daniel to be killed. Nathan had a similar situation when he had to confront David with his sins. But when your ways please the Lord, you simply do not worry about your enemies. God gave the king a year's opportunity for repentance, but the king continued in his sins. This is what pride and arrogance will accomplish. Well, God humbled him greatly. The king learned his lesson, and when he was restored, he gave glory to God. No matter what position we have in life, God gave it to us, and he is sovereign. When man tries to take the place of God, well, he becomes like a beast. God still resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And with that, let's begin today's reading in the Old Testament. November 27th, Daniel chapter 4, verses 1 through 37. King Nebuchadnezzar sent this message to the people of every race and nation and language throughout the world. Peace and prosperity to you. I want you all to know about the miraculous signs and wonders the Most High God has performed for me. How great are his signs, how powerful his wonders. His kingdom will last forever, his rule through all generations. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was living in my palace in comfort and prosperity. But one night I had a dream that greatly frightened me. I saw visions that terrified me as I lay in my bed. So I issued an order calling in all the wise men of Babylon, so they could tell me what my dream meant. When all the magicians, enchanters, astrologers, and fortune tellers came in, I told them the dream, but they could not tell me what it meant. At last, Daniel came in before me, and I told him the dream. He was named Belteshazzar after my God, and the spirit of the holy gods is in him. I said to him, O Belteshazzar, master magician, I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in you, and that no mystery is too great for you to solve. Now tell me what my dream means. While I was lying in my bed, this is what I dreamed. I saw a large tree in the middle of the earth. The tree grew very tall and strong, reaching high into the heavens for all the world to see. It had fresh green leaves, and it was loaded with fruit for all to eat. Wild animals lived in its shade, and birds nested in its branches. All the world was fed from this tree. Then, as I lay there dreaming, I saw a messenger, a holy one, coming down from heaven. The messenger shouted, "Cut down the tree, lop off its branches. Shake off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Chase the animals from its shade and the birds from its branches. But leave the stump and the roots in the ground, bound with a band of iron and bronze and surrounded by tender grass. Now let him be drenched with the dew of heaven, and let him live like an animal among the plants of the fields. For 7 periods of time, let him have the mind of an animal instead of a human. For this has been decreed by the messengers. It is commanded by the holy ones. The purpose of this decree is that the whole world may understand that the Most High rules over the kingdoms of the world and gives them to anyone he chooses, even to the lowliest of humans. O Belteshazzar, that was the dream that I, King Nebuchadnezzar, had. Now tell me what it means, for no one else can help me." All the wisest men of my kingdom have failed me. But you can tell me, because the spirit of the holy gods is in you. Upon hearing this, Daniel, also known as Belteshazzar, was overcome for a time, aghast at the meaning of the dream. Finally, the king said to him, Belteshazzar, don't be alarmed by the dream and what it means. Belteshazzar replied, Oh, how I wish the events foreshadowed in this dream would happen to your enemies, my lord, and not to you. You saw a tree growing very tall and strong, reaching high into the heavens for all the world to see. It had fresh green leaves, and it was loaded with fruit for all to eat. Wild animals lived in its shade, and birds nested in its branches. That tree, your majesty, is you, for you have grown strong and great. Your greatness reaches up to heaven, and your rule to the ends of the earth. Then you saw a messenger, a holy one, coming down from heaven and saying, Cut down the tree and destroy it, but leave the stump and the roots in the ground, bound with a band of iron and bronze, and surrounded by tender grass. Let him be drenched with the dew of heaven. Let him eat grass with the animals of the field for 7 periods of time. This is what the dream means, Your Majesty, and what the Most High has declared will happen to you. You will be driven from human society, and you will live in the fields with the wild animals. You will eat grass like a cow, and you will be drenched with the dew of heaven. 7 periods of time will pass while you live this way, until you learn that the Most High rules over the kingdoms of the world and gives them to anyone he chooses. But the stump and the roots were left in the ground. This means that you will receive your kingdom back again when you have learned that heaven rules. O King Nebuchadnezzar, please listen to me. Stop sinning and do what is right. Break from your wicked past by being merciful to the poor. Perhaps then you will continue to prosper. But all these things did happen to King Nebuchadnezzar. 12 months later, he was taking a walk on the flat roof of the royal palace in Babylon. As he looked out across the city, he said, Just look at this great city of Babylon. I, by my own mighty power, have built this beautiful city as my royal residence and as an expression of my royal splendor. While he was still speaking these words, a voice called down from heaven, O King Nebuchadnezzar, this message is for you. You are no longer ruler of this kingdom. You'll be driven from human society. You will live in the fields with the wild animals, and you will eat grass like a cow. 7 periods of time will pass while you live this way, until you learn that the Most High rules over the kingdoms of the world and gives them to anyone he chooses. That very same hour, the prophecy was fulfilled, and Nebuchadnezzar was driven from human society. He ate grass like a cow, and he was drenched with the dew of heaven. He lived this way until his hair was as long as eagle's feathers, and his nails were like bird's claws. After this time had passed, I, Nebuchadnezzar, looked up to heaven. My sanity returned, and I praised and worshipped the Most High, and honored the one who lives forever. His rule is everlasting, and his kingdom is eternal. All the people of the earth are nothing compared to him. He has the power to do as he pleases, among the angels of heaven and with those who live on earth. No one can stop him or challenge him, saying, What do you mean by doing these things? When my sanity returned to me, so did my honor and glory and kingdom. My advisors and officers sought me out, and I was reestablished as head of my kingdom, with even greater honor than before. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and glorify and honor the King of Heaven. All his acts are just and true, and he is able to humble those who are proud. November 27th. And now we turn our attention to the reading of the New Testament. And today's reading will come from the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1, verses 1 through 21. Here's a brief overview of what 2 Peter is all about. When he wrote this book, the apostle was conscious that death was near and that the church was in danger, for false teachers were creeping in. He urged the believers to hold to the precious word and grow spiritually, and to identify and shun false teachers, and to keep the promise of Christ's return uppermost in their hearts. He stressed spiritual knowledge that comes from God's word. And you'll have power for the present. That's what the first chapter here teaches. When you trusted Christ, he gave you all that you need for life and godliness. All you have to do is appropriate what you need from his resources. His word feeds the divine nature within, and you can grow in knowledge and in grace. This is not automatic. You must be diligent to use the means of grace that God has provided. You'll have assurance from the past. Peter would be martyred soon, so he took occasion to remind his readers that they could trust the word of God. Although Peter's experience on the Mount of Transfiguration was wonderful, my friend, experiences are not a substitute for the unchanging word of God. And you'll have hope for the future. The word is a light in this dark world, pointing to the return of the Lord. Private interpretation means that no prophecy should be isolated from the rest of Scripture or interpreted apart from the leading of the Spirit who gave it to us. The Spirit wrote one book, and it must be understood as a whole. Believers may differ on individual matters of prophecy, but they all agree on the one hope, and that is Jesus is coming again, and he's coming soon. And now let's begin our reading today in the New Testament. November 27, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 21. This letter is from Simon Peter, a slave and apostle of Jesus Christ. I am writing to all of you who share the same precious faith we have, faith given to us by Jesus Christ, our God and Savior, who makes us right with God. May God bless you with his special favor and wonderful peace as you come to know Jesus, our God and Lord, better and better. As we know Jesus better, his divine power gives us everything we need for living a godly life. He has called us to receive his own glory and goodness, and by that same mighty power, he has given us all of his rich and wonderful promises. He has promised that you will escape the decadence all around you, caused by evil desires, and that you will share in his divine nature. So make every effort to apply the benefits of these promises to your life. Then your faith will produce a life of moral excellence. A life of moral excellence leads to knowing God better. Knowing God leads to self-control. Self-control leads to patient endurance. And patient endurance leads to godliness. Godliness leads to love for other Christians. And finally, you will grow to have genuine love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more you'll become productive and useful in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop these virtues are blind, or at least very short-sighted. They have already forgotten that God has cleansed them from their old life of sin. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Doing this, you will never stumble or fall away. And God will open wide the gates of heaven for you to enter into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I plan to keep on reminding you of these things, even though you already know them and are standing firm in the truth. Yes, I believe I should keep on reminding you of these things as long as I live. But the Lord Jesus Christ has shown me that my days here on earth are numbered, and I am soon to die. So I will work hard to make these things clear to you. I want you to remember them long after I am gone. For we are not making up clever stories when we told you about the power of our Lord Jesus Christ and His coming again. We have seen His majestic splendor with our own eyes. And He received honor and glory from God the Father when God's glorious majestic voice called down from heaven, "This is my beloved Son. I am fully pleased with Him." We ourselves heard the voice when we were there with Him on the holy mountain. Because of that, we have even greater confidence in the message proclaimed by the prophets. Pay close attention, for their words are like a light shining in a dark place, until the day Christ appears and His brilliant light shines in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy in Scripture ever came from the prophets themselves or because they wanted to prophesy. It was the Holy Spirit who moved the prophets to speak from God. Psalm 119, verses 97 through 112. Those who love God's word and obey it develop a practical wisdom for guiding their lives. It's dangerous to learn from your enemies, and both your teachers and your elderly friends may not know what you need to know. So learn all you can from every good source, but let God, not man, be your teacher. You see, my friend, in a dark world, God's word can be your light to keep you from the traps and detours of the enemy. God gives you the light you need a step at a time. That's why it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path." If you want more light, you must obey what He says. Then more light will come. God sends the light into your heart and gives you the wisdom you need. Psalm 119, verses 97 through 112. Oh, how I love the Lord's law. I think about it all day long. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for your commands are my constant guide. Yes, I have more insight than my teachers, for I am always thinking of your decrees. I am even wiser than my elders, for I have kept your commandments. I have refused to walk on any path of evil, that I may remain obedient to your word. I haven't turned away from your laws, for you have taught me well. How sweet are your words to my taste! They are sweeter than honey. Your commandments give me understanding. No wonder I hate every false way of life. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. I've promised it once, and I'll promise again. I will obey your wonderful laws. I have suffered much, O Lord. Restore my life again, just as you promised. Lord, accept my grateful thanks and teach me your laws. My life constantly hangs in the balance, but I will not stop obeying your law. The wicked have set their traps for me along your path, but I will not turn from your commandments. Your decrees are my treasure. They are truly my heart's delight. I am determined to keep your principles even forever to the very end. Proverbs chapter 28, verses 17 and 18. A murderer's tormented conscience will drive him into the grave. Don't protect him. The honest will be rescued from harm, but those who are crooked will be destroyed.